wants to guide this church. So he's spending all this time just listening to what God has to lay before us and what direction he wants us to take. So you can remember him in prayer, please. Remember Pastor Roy as he looks to God for direction. And Pastor Tung, he's down in L.A. He's ministering. He's at a retreat for the L.A. Chinese Alliance Church. So he's the speaker there. Remember him, too, in your prayers. And I just want to introduce our speaker. His name is Dick Andrews. And we're the only two guys wearing Hawaiian shirts. Because we're from Hawaii. But he's like us, like me, you know. I grew up in Hawaii. I grew up in Kaneohe. He grew up in Hilo, the two rainiest towns in all of Hawaii. He came here to the University of Washington, and he got his Bachelor's of Arts in American and English Literature, and he returned to the University of Washington for his Master's of Education, focusing on teaching English to speakers of other languages. And he's used that when China opened its doors in the 80s. He and his family relocated to northern China, and he trained university teachers there, translators and interpreters, and English majors in English and its disciplines. So he teaches in evangelical churches, global mission conferences, and in perspectives on the world Christian movement. And since joining OMF, which is an overseas missionary fellowship, and we support that in our budget, he has led the U.S.-China program, the Ethnic Ministries program, and the Southwest Regional Center. So please join me in welcoming Dick Andrews. E komo mai. Welcome.
Welcome. Good morning, brothers and sisters. That was weak. I will say it again. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Oh, much better. Looks like he's had breakfast. Good. Today I chose to wear a Hawaiian shirt for several reasons. One, it's cooler than a tie, and it's also red. And red, as you well know, often symbolizes happiness in the Chinese culture. But it also has fish on it, lots of fish. I was at the aquarium last night, and behind the bride and groom was this wall of fish. And I was very tempted to bring out my Hawaiian sling and start spearing fish. But we are fishers of people, amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of people. And we're reminded of that as we come into the book of Philippians. May I please see your sermon notes? Wave them. Show me that you have them. If you are a note taker, you are probably trusting your notes better than your memory. And that's a pretty good. And that's to give you an outline as to where I'm going to go today. Time is brief. And Tung Do is a good friend of mine, becoming a good friend of mine, and he is starting the book of Philippians. And if you know the book of Philippians, it is Paul's happiest letter. Christians with a joyful gospel. Joyful gospel. And growing up in sunny Hawaii, I spent hundreds of hours spearing fish. Back to the sun beating. I can remember peeling off dead skin from my back, just like toilet paper. Hundreds of hours spearing fish. And I never paid attention to the health warnings about skin cancer. Just a few days ago, the surgeon, U.S. Surgeon General, warned Americans of about a 200 increase in skin cancer cases since 1973, many among the young And while other cancers, such as lung cancer, are decreasing, skin cancer is rapidly increasing. And melanoma deaths are at 9,000 deaths every year from a very preventable disease. And the Surgeon General warned that tanned skin is damaged skin. Since I had so much damage as a teenager, I now go to a dermatologist every single year to have him read my skin. He reads everything to see, is there any indication of melanoma? Are any spots or moles growing? And I need to go to him. My wife didn't even have to urge me to go. I began to realize with that much sun in the early years, I have an increased chance of getting skin cancer. So he reads my skin. So far, it's good. But reading and paying attention are daily challenges now for me. I don't know if any of you are in that situation, or if you are young and invincible, nothing harms you, you have many of the answers. Well, perhaps the sun will have an answer for you if you're not careful. Reading our skin, reading the signs, reading the times. Brothers and sisters, it's John Stott who said, there are people in the world who will never open a Bible. Still, they are forming impressions about God every time they meet a Christian. And he said, you may be, if you're a Christian, if you're a real Christian, you may be the only Bible that someone will read. And so, when you are walking with Christ and you are clear with him, they will be reading you, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. You may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. And so that is a truism that brings us to the book of Philippians. Let me ask you a question. Who in your life has been like a Bible for you? Who showed you by their words and their actions and their attitudes and their values what God was like, what he's like? And what did that person say or do that showed God to you? And then by application, are we becoming Bibles for people to read? In what we say, in what we do, do we show God to people? Can they see Christ's joy in us? So if you look at your first point, you start with the problem. Sin is the problem, and there are payment plans. And you and I know that only God can diagnose sin's problems correctly. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glories of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. There's the two sides, the death that people face with sin and then the gift of Christ. One makes you sad with that sad face, and then one should make us joyful because it's God's gift of Christ to solve the sin problem. And then Hebrews 9:27-28. For just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, every one of us will face judgment. We'll come face to face with Christ. There'll be no brothers, no sisters, no wives, no excuses. We'll be face to face with him. I don't know if you look for that day or if you long for that day, but I picture that day when I'm standing alone with him and I'm going to give an account to him of how I lived my life. That's a fact. And I am preparing for that time. And Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time. Not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The problem is not too much sin, too much sun causing skin cancer. The real problem is that sin infects every person and it causes certain death and eternal separation from God. Amen? Sin is the problem, and everybody has that problem. And unpaid sins will send a person into eternal agony in hell's unquenchable fires. Forest fires may eventually be put out or burn out, But hell's fires never go out. Mark 9:43. A person can put on soothing oils on sunburns, but no person can soothe or heal the penalties of their unpaid sins. And so, brothers and sisters, you can hear various payment plans by people. You've heard them, I've heard them, you're going to hear them again. One of the ways that people negotiate when they realize they are falling short of God's glory and have sin is they'll negotiate with him to come up with an alternative plan, and that will be useless. No amount of money can buy the gospel. No person can impress God with self-important titles or reputations or attitudes or accomplishments that does not impress God. People often have alternative plans when they realize they have a sin payment that is due. And some people will say, no one's perfect. Give me some margins. Give me some slack. And go easy on my punishment. It's the no one's perfect. And we use that. You'll also hear, I'm not that bad compared to. And so we flatter ourselves, but we're using a yardstick that God will not use for us. Some will claim, like my dad did before he came to Christ, I've done more good deeds than bad. And so with my good deeds, I should be acceptable to God because my scales say I did more good than bad. That's negotiating. That won't work either. But people use that. Some people will say, a loving God of the Bible would never send me to hell. Never. God doesn't send people to hell. You know, brother, he doesn't have to. He just waits on people's decisions, and they will decide their destiny, their location. And so he's not compulsive in terms of punishing people. That's not his desire. It's not his desire that anybody should perish. These typical answers and many more are really arguments with God. And it's basically saying, God, you know, your Christ is the only way to God's salvation plan. It's not broad enough. It's too narrow. I have other good alternative plans for sin, my sin. Let me negotiate with you. And all of these basically say, I know better, or I know as well as you do. And this process, it does call God a liar for creating the only plan that he will accept. He is not too narrow. Guess who is too narrow? The gospel and the good news is that God never lies, and that he has the only solution for paying all sins. Amen? Amen? He has the payment plan, and it's his plan. Defining the gospel needs to be clear. And Paul, when he was in prison, chained to his prison guards, knew that how he acted and what he said and his daily behavior would make an eternal difference in some of the guards' lives. And so he countered with what he was going to hear in prison with a very clear description of the gospel, the good news. Here is a very clear description. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8. For what I, Paul, received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then he appeared to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Christ died for our sins, buried, raised on the third day, and has reappeared. Brothers and sisters, have you seen Jesus? Has he come to you? Has he made himself evident to you? And many of you say, he has. I have seen Jesus. He is risen, and he is alive and well, and he is my hero and my Savior and my Lord. And so in this message today, brief as it is, I will interchange the words gospel and good news. Gospel and good news. This is God's good news. It's God's good news. Now, brothers and sisters, what are some of the reasons that Christians can rejoice and should rejoice? Well, for one, we rejoice in God's payment plan. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners and stuck, while we were still sinners and stuck in our stuff, in our plans, in our way of life, we were stuck. Christ died for us. Amen? He didn't wait for us to try to get unstuck, but he came knowing that we were stuck. I was stuck. I'm sure you were stuck. I'm sure you've been stuck. Maybe you're stuck. We have no real solutions, not the kind that God will buy into. And so, brothers and sisters, as Tung Do, Brother Tung Do comes next week, he will have probably, well, he won't have as much sun as we have here, but he will have his portion of sun when he comes back. He will continue the book of Philippians, 4 chapters. I get chapter 1. He will read my notes. He'll see where I took you this week, and he's going to come in probably with chapter 2. This Philippians is Paul's most joyful letter. You want to read joy, read Paul's letter to the Philippians, the church that he started and went back to revisit a number of times and then wrote a letter to them. How did Paul, chained to a Roman guard and guards, how did he write such a joyful letter in prison? I had a Chinese sister last night say when she teaches Awanas at her Chinese church, her first rule is no whining. No whining. And the kids, when they get a little rushy, she says, okay, what's the rule? And the Chinese kids say, no whining. Any whiners in here? You don't have to hear the words. You can hear what? You can hear the tone. It's the tone. That's what my grandchildren, when they move into whining mode, I can click off the words. I hear what? The tone. Whining. Paul does not whine even though he's in prison. Whining will definitely tell people that you are not joyful inside. You are not dealing with the thing that makes you whine. And as we study the first chapter of Philippians, we begin to see and to feel Paul's joy. Why does he have such joy? What are the reasons? Well, brothers and sisters, as you read Philippians, it won't take you long. I don't know, maybe 12 minutes, maybe 15. Joy was an inside job. His joy did not depend on circumstances. His joy was fruit grown by the Holy Spirit inside, and then it became visible outside. It's an inside job to start with. It doesn't depend on circumstances. It depends on growth inside. His joy overflowed, and so when the joy is overflowing, it spills over almost naturally, and it spills over to those who see. It is infectious, and it can be contagious. It is joy that the Holy Spirit will create and grow in us. Now, brothers and sisters, those who are here this morning who can clearly identify that time in history when they gave their life to Christ and received forgiveness of sins, you are a people, we are a people with a joyful gospel. We have good news. God has solved the sin problem and the payment for it. We have very good news. And if you look at Philippians, you will see rejoice or joy. Thank you for the songs today. There were several sections in there that had rejoice or joy. You will see that term appear 14 times in Philippians. It's the operative description in Philippians. So why should we be joyful as Christians? First of all, although Jesus was fully human, he was the only person in history on the earth who never sinned in word, thought, or deed. He had lots of temptations, but he never sinned. And therefore, he says in Matthew 28, 18, all authority, all legal authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me, because he was sinless and he could use the authority of God to forgive sins. We should be very joyful because we have a hero who is sinless. With his payment on Calvary's cross, God will receive us into fellowship with him. That should make us joyful. Cleansed by his blood, we are forgiven. That should make us joyful. We are set free from our prisons to begin a lifetime practice of joyful self-giving. And we will not be assigned to hell forever, but rather received into heaven, where we will be with Christ forever, John 14, 1 through 4. He will come himself to come and get the true believers. My mom died in our guest bedroom 3 years ago, and Jesus came into our bedroom, into that bedroom, and he escorted my mom to be with him forever. That's a sacred room. Her body was still there, but he had come in the morning and he had taken her to be with him. He promised her that. She counted on it. They're gone. They're out of here. And she's joyful now in many ways. But in contrast, Christians, we will escape hell's unchanging fires. And that pain and fire that cannot be put out by earthly firefighters, no matter how brave or no matter how hard they fight, if we keep the faith, we will not be assigned to hell. And that is a great, great, great reason to rejoice. Now, brothers and sisters, how many of you have ever procrastinated, put off things that you needed to do? And every hand should go up. Have you ever quit early in finishing something that you needed to do? And every hand should go up. Have you any perfectionists in here? Okay, good. Good, but only if it's controlled. Okay, my mom was a perfectionist. She's in the Hawaiian Music Hall of Fame because she was a perfectionist. But she had a downside, which was pushing, 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 pushing. You should have seen us when we were learning Hawaiian music from her. Our Hawaiian had to be impeccable because my mom was a perfectionist. If you're a perfectionist, make sure God has control of you. Have you ever messed up work? You perfectionists, have you ever messed up work because you took too long on it and you overdid it and you did it again? And have you ever noticed sometimes you made it worse? Yeah. Well, the reason to rejoice is what God starts, Philippians 1:6, what God starts, he will finish. Let me read Philippians 1:6, if you're in that first chapter, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day Jesus Christ returns to earth again. Christ will keep on developing that good work and perfecting it and bring it to full completion in you. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, you and I, if we are really Christians, we're having a work where? In us. Who's doing the work? God is doing the work. Will he finish? He will not only finish, but he will bring it to completion. And let me tell you, I'm looking forward, my wife's looking forward to that kind of that finished product. Because if anybody who knows me, it's my wife. And she'll know if it's a real deal, real change, or if it's just a fad. Psalmist says in Psalm 25, 21, God, use all your skill to put me together. Anybody need putting together? I do. God, use all your skill to put me together. I want to see your finished product. Rest assured and rejoice, because God will finish the work that he began in our lives. That gives me great hope. Because I can't finish the work, but he can, and he promises he will. Amen? That is good news. And if any of you have close relationships with people, and that person's a Christian, rejoice, because guess what? God is at work in that person, especially if they cooperate. If you don't cooperate, will God continue the work or come back when you're ready to cooperate? I'm not sure I know all the deep theological answers, but I know he will not quit on us. Amen? He will not abandon his work. If he began it and we've received Christ, he's continuing the work. To me, this is great news. It's the only real hope sometimes that things will get better because he's at work. Amen? So we rejoice in that. Now, we rejoice also, Philippians 1:12, because no one and nothing can imprison the gospel. The gospel is free. It's free for the offering. Nothing can really stop it. Philippians 1:12. Now I, Paul, want you to know and be assured that my imprisonment has actually served to advance and to renew the spreading of the gospel, the good news. Now, brothers and sisters, nothing can imprison the gospel. And so, I want to illustrate that today. Brother, my ikone, my friend, I want to illustrate. If I pretend I am Paul, here's the first Imperial Roman Guard. He is the elite. And guess what? He is going to be chained to me for 6 hours a day. I cannot escape. I don't know what happens if I have to go to the bathroom. I don't know what happens. But all I know is this Herman is an Imperial Guard. 6 hours he has me. He's got me. We're locked. So I can write, I can think, I can talk out loud. But brothers and sisters, this Imperial God, he's not going anywhere. And I'm not going anywhere. So I ask you the question, who's the real prisoner? See, Paul's the Christian. Paul has the good news. Paul knows that Christ died for him. Who's the prisoner? It's probably him. Now I can really take advantage of this. How are you doing, brother?
Okay.
You want some malasadas or locomoco or what? Oh, good, huh? Yeah, yeah. See, Paul can talk to his Imperial Guard, and if he builds a relationship, he'll say, you know, how about we go for dim sum today?
That's good, too.
Hey, good, huh? Good. Yeah. How about we go together, and then I can pay.
You got it.
Okay. But this guard, we may start out as he's really alert. He can't lose me. If he loses me, if I escape, guess what? Roman guards were executed if they lost their prisoner. That's why it was so serious. When they couldn't find Christ's body, those guys were executed. Or some of them were executed. Or they were bribed to tell a different story. But you did not lose a prisoner or you paid with your life. That was serious business, right? So he's going to be serious. He's chained to me. And if you look at this, I have, even though I'm in prison and in 6 hours, they're going to bring another guy. Any volunteers want to come up? Yeah. No, they're going to bring another guy. And he's going to be chained to me. So I'm going to get 4 per day. That's how it's going to be. And if I'm a Christian, and Paul is, you know what? It is a tremendous opportunity for me to be real, to be authentic, to be sharing the good news. I would imagine if he misread his guard and he gave too much of the good news, the dosage was too heavy. This guy could hardly wait till the next guy came in and relieved him, right? Then the next guy comes in, and guess what? I need to read this guy and to see how much should I give him. Have you ever brought the gospel and brought your dump truck on somebody? You brought the gospel. It was the gospel. Boy, you loaded it up. I did that to a friend. I almost lost that friendship. I buried that person with Bible verses. I couldn't even see them. They were underneath there, and I dumped the load. Ever done that? Oh, I regret I don't regret sharing the gospel. My dump truck was too big. I should have studied the person. I should have asked some questions. I should have figured out how much can they take today. I may have another opportunity. Where you work, where you live, in your families, you have people who do not know Christ. Is that right? you have an opportunity sensitively to bring the good news in the right dosage. Sometimes it's not saying anything. Sometimes it's a few words here and there. But you can bring, because guess what? Your family, your ohana is what? Probably chained to you. Amen? Yeah, some of you say, yeah, they like to. They like to rattle the chains sometimes. But they got me. They have me. Okay, so that's part of it. Paul, when you read the gospel, he is a joyful person. So brother here should be seeing regularly what? He should be seeing joy. Okay, now, if I am chained to my imperial guard, and my words and my actions and my attitudes are not well, clear liquid, very clear liquid, could be almost anything. This is not staged, although, okay, brother, imperial guard number one, Herman, I want to have you, my words today, my actions, I want you to have a good spoonful of my stuff. Oh, it's only vinegar. It's, oh, where's the jowza? Okay, so I wasn't real good yesterday, and my words were lousy. I was complaining about the food or whatever, and I was complaining about this and that. I was moaning. I was whining. Guess what? He's got the. He watches me. I whine. I'm trying to bring good news. He goes, ah. That's what we do with people, brothers and sisters. They see us and they hear that, and then you're complaining about the weather or whatever, your finances, your credit, whatever. And they get what? They get vinegar. They get vinegar. And that's going to sour the gospel. Now, brother, I have good news. You want some lemon? Yeah. I think I'll give you some lemon. Okay. No. Attitudes, my attitudes, my style, my whining, my writing. I wish I was home. I wish I didn't have to be here. How come I'm here? Here, brother, have some of my attitude. Good, yeah. Sour lemon, Chinese style.
I like it.
Baked in the sun. Yeah, okay, good. I give you a lot. I give you a whole lemon. I give you three. And I pour it on, and after a while, my dosage is too much. You may like lemons for a while, but you may not like what I'm giving you on the dosage. Okay, now, you say, give me a break. I'd like to give you a break. Same spoon, same person, sterilized. Okay. Sterilized, brother. Okay, guess what? I'm flowing with the Holy Spirit. I'm not whining, and I give you through my attitude and my words. Read it, bro.
Honey-flavored syrup.
Honey-flavored syrup. The double whammy. My joy is the double whammy. I am finally giving my brother my imperial guard. I'm waiting for the next guy tomorrow coming in. I'm waiting with joy and syrup and honey rather than what? Vinegar. Now, some of you love vinegar. I know that. But brothers and sisters, a vinegar face. A vinegar face does not usually attract and keep people. Amen? Some of you avoid. You avoid people like that. Brother, you want to leave?
Oh, yeah.
You do? What's the matter? Is my dosage too strong? I got 5 minutes, bro. Now, if you don't behave, guess what? Chains. We'll chain you up, okay? Okay, so brothers and sisters, Paul is in chains. Amen? And he could be whining and moaning and groaning, and he is not. 14 times you can see he's joyful, he's thankful. It's the real deal. Anybody chained to him, they're going to know he's the real deal. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. And so another reason that we want to rejoice, and I'm keeping my eye on the clock, which is a beautiful clock in red up there. We rejoice because we are not afraid of sharing Christ's sufferings. We're not afraid of sharing Christ's suffering. Philippians 1, 29 through 30, it's great. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict, the struggle that you saw I, Paul, had and now bear, and I still have. Brothers and sisters, we are Americans, and with our beautiful blue passport with the American Eagle and all that stuff, we like happy endings. We do not like to go to the Hong Kong International Airport and wait in the long line for foreigners. We want the jiffy time. We want to get right in there with the locals and zip through. We don't want to stand in lines. Don't you see my passport? I'm an American. I like happy endings. I like Hollywood endings. Don't give me, I don't want the pain and suffering. I'm going to skip that. And that's not Christ's life. If he came to keep it clean and safe, he would never embrace the cross. And he did it. So the invitation is, come and learn how to share your portion, my portion of his suffering. How many of you have quickly discovered in the Christian life there is suffering? How many of you discovered some of the suffering is because we're stupid? We cause it. We cause the suffering. How many of you have ever caused suffering? You shoot yourselves with things you said or attitudes. How many of you have ever done that? And every hand goes up. Yeah, because that's not the suffering of Christ. That's stupidity. The sufferings of Christ is involved when you engage in people's lives and you serve them when it hurts. And you serve them. You don't count how much you're giving them. You start to serve. Lifetime, that's what Paul learned. He has it. He's got it. He's a real servant. Christ was is a real servant. And so when Christ frees us from being afraid of suffering, we are free indeed. That is a very large freedom that he gives us in America. I would say sometimes we are a nation of whiners. We like happy endings. We do not like pain. And so he says, I free you from the fear of suffering. You will be sharing part of Christ's suffering. How great when you're joyful and you receive it. And so joy is a byproduct. Joy comes from having a real life relationship with God. It has to be given by God, and it can be given. And in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, joy can be there. Amen? Do you believe that? If it's there, whoever's chained to you or whoever you come in contact will see that joy. I'm not talking about faking it. I'm not talking about faking it. Here. You know people who are, yeah, but inside it, yeah. The joy is real. Paul has it. He's the real deal. And so, brothers, let me end with this. We want to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, live lives that make Jesus attractive to others. He is attractive to others. It comes through our words, through our actions, through our attitudes, and through our visible joy. Live in such a way that we are a credit to the gospel. Joy attracts. Joylessness repels. When people read you as a Bible, what taste will you and I leave in their mouths? God wants his people to be joyful, and God wants his people to share good, joyful news. And let me end on this. Brothers and sisters, if you are here this morning and you are not absolutely sure that you are born again, you have given your life to Christ, you are following him, if you are not sure that you have ever made that decision, you are in serious danger of remaining separated in your sins from Christ. You are in serious danger. Without Christ as your Savior who can forgive your sins, you are on a dangerous dead-end road, a dead-end lifetime journey. You are really stuck. And you are heading towards eternal separation because you are choosing it if you haven't come to him. You will be burned. You will be burned by your unpaid sins. The burning is guaranteed. Not because God likes to burn people, but because people will not let him heal and forgive. Today is the day of your salvation. Don't wait any longer to be sure. If you're not sure and you're ready today, come talk with me, come talk with Herman, come talk with some of the leaders. Please be warned. When I was in high school, we had a tidal wave that came into our town. People had 8 hours. It was about the fourth tidal wave warning. 8 hours. Some said, well, what time is the tidal wave coming? They said, it's coming about 11. So they said, well, we'll watch TV till about 10:30, then we'll leave. Some of them fell asleep watching TV. They died. There were 61, 62, 63, 64 deaths that morning in my hometown. It took out half the town, killed 64 people. No one had to die that night. If they had just listened to the warnings, they could have gotten out of the warning. They would have been safe even a mile up the road. Nobody had to die that night. And those that didn't, they fell asleep. They didn't care. They were too casual. They died because they did not listen to the warnings. Philippians warns us. Philippians gives us the answer. It gives us a joy. And brothers and sisters, I will say to you today, joy, which was the small publicity of the non-believer, joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. Chesterton said, joy is the gigantic secret. Let's not keep it a secret from those who are perishing. And I just offer you Philippians, a very joyful book. If you're a little down, read Philippians. If you're really, really down and have the vinegar attitude, then read the Psalms. Read the right Psalms. That will help you. Brothers and sisters, may God bless you. May he strengthen you. May he make it sure that your gospel is a joyful gospel. Let me see something. Let me see something that looks like joy. Good. How about? Good. Thank you, Sashini. Good.
Brothers and sisters, let's stand together.